Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, my dear friend, Stacy Metzler from Yardley, Pennsylvania. Hi, everybody. Alcoholic Stacy Metzler. I look out here and I see my family, like the real deal family. Okay, I won't cry, I promise. You guys know I'm a crier, but I'll try not to. Feet First used to be my home group. I absolutely adore Feet First. I adore the people here. They are my family. You guys are my family. We do all kinds of fun stuff together, crazy, zany stuff. We go on. We have that kind of get-in-the-car sobriety. Get in the car. And we just go places and do fun stuff. And because I'm of the school, if you're not having fun in your sobriety, it's your own damn fault. Because, man, there is so much fun to be had. I don't know about you, but I did not get sober to be all down the mouth. And poor, pitiful, woe is me. It says in our big book, we are not a glum lot. And I don't know. I mean, I get glum, don't get me wrong. But generally, I'm not glum because of the 12 steps and having had a spiritual awakening as a result of them so that I can pretty much on a daily basis live pretty happy, joyous, and free. As opposed to the woman that you would have seen 6.5 years ago who wanted to off herself all the time, you know, either by alcohol or several other plans. So you guys used to be my home group for, 3.5-4 years. My home group now is Miracle Group in Bristol, Pennsylvania, the opposite other end of the county. We meet every Thursday night at Beaver and Pond Street at 8 o'clock in the evening. And we are a Pacific-style group. We have a 10-minute speaker, which is like a real fast-paced, fun speaker. And then we do a break, and then we have a 45-minute speaker. Please come see us on a Thursday night. Miracle Group, it's in Bristol. And I absolutely believe in home groups. We have a triangle. Did you ever see that thing, that triangle thing? With a circle around it. One of the legs of that triangle is unity, and that's how we link in through home group. That's where a lot of the unity comes from. So part of that. Hey, Sue. Hi. Hi. Hi, Sue. So I really believe in home group from the very, very beginning of my sobriety. On January 10th, 2007, I had a home group. And that home group, I actually got sober in Maine. You guys can tell I'm from here. I have the accent. But I got sober in Maine. Guess why? Geographic cure. I thought Bucks County was my problem. So I went to Maine. And guess who I took with me? Hey, Janet. So I took Stacy to Maine, and God is so hilarious in my life. God's like, ha ha ha, I'll take you to a place where it's 9 months worth of winter and you can get liquor everywhere. I'll show you, little girl, that you need to hit bottom real quick. And I hit bottom in Maine at the end of 2006. And got sober January 10th, 2007, and I haven't looked back. I didn't go to rehab, none of that. I didn't want to be here. I thought y'all were losers, total losers. I didn't even know I had to be here. I had no idea I was even an alcoholic. I just thought I was a loser and could never get my life together. I never once equated the fact that I drank pretty much every day to pass out with the unmanageability of my life at the age of 44. So I was, like most of you, the last one to know. Absolutely the last one to know that I wasn't just a big loser. I have a disease. Thank God I have a disease. You know? You can say I have a disease and there's a solution for it. This solution that you can get here for free and for fun, which is really awesome. I grew up in Upper Bucks County. I went to high school Penn Ridge. Yay, Rams! Sorry, Quakertown. I was a cheerleader, as if you couldn't tell. I was a square peg forever and ever. Even when I was a little kid, I just... just never felt like I fit in. I was always... because I'm a cute blonde with, green eyes and ponytails, and I was a cheerleader. I had that look like I fit in, but I didn't, in here didn't fit in my heart of hearts. So I felt really pretty sick even as a kid, pretty disconnected from all the humans around me. And God, I went to Sunday school, but my parents weren't totally into that at all. So they just went because I guess they thought it was the thing to do. My mom's the alcoholic in the family. My dad's a workaholic. He had his own construction business. And that doesn't make me an alcoholic. That disease part does, and we'll talk about that. But I was definitely disconnected from the get-go. Not feeling so great. Definitely a liar. I lied a lot as a kid. My lies are more the form of the delusional style lie. I often won't out, not just come out and, I don't even know what's happening. In fact, it happened last week for the first time in a long time. Guess when it happens? When I am meeting new people that don't even know me, and I am feeling less than. So I all of a sudden have some sort of grandiose life. Wackadoodle. I start telling you stuff about me that's not true. When I sat on bar stools, I was notorious for that. I went to Wellesley, I was some blue blood or something. Ridiculous. All kinds of just ridiculous lies. But in the form of delusion, because I felt so less than, not one among many, like I feel today on a majority of the time. Majority of the time, I feel like really one among many. Total big liar. Yeah, trips to Hawaii, boyfriends in Sweden, yeah. Yeah. Bad. A lot of times those lies just made me feel total shame about me as a human. Just absolute shame about me as a human. I was a pass out, vomiting drunk from the get-go. I was a seeker even as a small child. The joke in my family is that I was weaned on pony bottles or Rolling Rock. You know those little bottles, wicked cold in the summer, And we were a family of partiers. The Metzlers are partiers. My parents always had people over the house and always had some sort of, party going on. And I would sit at the top of the stairs and look down at the people having a party and see the glasses, and they were playing cards and laughing. And I'm like, I want me some of that. So I watched that for a good long time and really thought, oh, that's cool looking,
And I definitely, from the very beginning, was a pass-out drunk. My very first date ever, I had a date, right? So I'm terrified, right? Because pretty much I live on fear. All kinds of fear in, you know, hundreds of different forms. But so I meet, you know, a football player wants to take me out. And why I thought it was a good idea to get a bottle of Four Roses whiskey. I don't even know how I got this bottle of whiskey. But, you know, boys in cars in rural areas with, you know, really passed out drunk chicks doesn't equal good stuff for passed out drunk chicks. So I had consequences immediately. The very night that I got wasted, the very first time, consequences, very major consequences. But that didn't stop me. It just didn't stop me. I was a party girl that's what I really thought I was, a party girl. I was a party girl, and I went to college, and I dropped out of college that's a lie. I just almost told you a lie. I did not drop out of college. That was the year the Mac machine came out, like in 1981 when I graduated. So I go away to college, right? And the Mac machine comes out, right? And my father was perplexed as to why the Mac machine was always dry and why I was always calling him going, there's no money in the account. Because I was down at the Mermaid Inn with the rugby team treating everybody to drinks and getting totally wasted with my girlfriend Kelly. That's why the Mac machine was empty. So I didn't leave college willingly. My father said, get your you-know-what together, or I'm not funding this little soiree anymore. So that's exactly what happened. The rug got pulled out from under me, and I had no idea what I was going to do. So what I did was found a husband. That was a mess, you guys. Man, I tried so many different things to better myself, you know. So I thought this guy was going to... I was unmanageable from the very beginning. I was in the restaurant business. What drunk chick doesn't like to get paid in after-shift cocktails with bartenders that she knows? Duh. And then go to after-hours clubs all night long and use non-conference approved substances so that you can drink more. So I'm in the restaurant business. I'm floating from restaurant to restaurant. I'm drinking my shift drinks. I'm getting paid in cash. I'm peeing all the cash away every single night. And I'm absolutely out of control. Absolutely out of control. I'm thinking, college didn't work. This restaurant gig isn't working. I think I should find myself a husband. So I go skiing up Doe Mountain. What do they call it now? Bear Creek. So I go to Bear Creek, Doe Mountain, and I am wrecked. I go by myself, and I'm totally wrecked. I have a Boda bag, so I'm drinking the whole time I'm skiing, and every couple runs I go into the bar. So this guy tries to pick me up, and I end up marrying him. So he lives in Reading, and I live down towards Philly, and I do not know how this guy did not know I was wasted most of the time I was with him. I have no idea, but he was a cop. Can you imagine me married to a cop? Oh, man. I am sorry. Come on, me with a cop? Look at me. I look like the art teacher. Oh, man. I really actually, I think, thought, because he used to be President Reagan's bodyguard, and he was a former Marine. I thought this guy was going to straighten me out. I'm going to get a house with a picket fence and have some kids and get all straightened out. Well, that didn't work out, you guys. About 2 seconds into this marriage, we were in therapy. And he said, you have an alcohol problem. And I'm like, no. don't put the kibosh on my party, dude. You know, I'm like 25 or something. Like, you're a loser. Why are you putting the damper on my party? Loser boy. Your box haircut. He was wicked cute, though, I got to tell you. Anyway. So, are you guys like this? I know you are. If somebody tells you you can't do something, your middle finger comes up and you say, yeah, you go right ahead and watch me not do that. So, so he said, I don't think you can stop drinking. And I said, I'll show you. And I stopped drinking for a year. And I went to AA. I got to tell you, and this was out in Reading, Pennsylvania, you know, Chit-Chat Club and all that. I didn't go to Karen Foundation, but there used to be a clubhouse called Chit-Chat Club out in Reading. I stopped drinking for a year, you guys. And I was a dry drunk. I got a sponsor, and she was some blue hair lady. Because I thought that that's what you did. You know, you got some old person that was in AA for 1,000 years, and I don't know what I thought. And so I stayed dry for a whole year, and all I did was look at boys. I looked at boys. I flirted with boys. Mind you, I'm married, of course, right? And I stayed dry, and I did go to her house a couple times, and she tried to work the steps with me, I think, but I was in such a fog, I don't really remember it. The only thing I remember about her being my sponsor is she had the largest sycamore tree in Berks County. I swear to you, it's the only thing I remember. And then I proceeded to go out for another 18 years. Let's have a show of hands. Who here think it got better for Miss Stacy? Oh, my, no one's raising their hand. It was really awful. This disease does really awful things to us. It tells us, first of all, that we don't have it. And that 1 year under my belt said to me, I can stop any time I want. So I burnt through a whole bunch of relationships and a whole bunch of bars. And I ended up at my parents'. I would say I was totally the boomerang child. I kept showing up with the black trash bag. They're like rolling their eyes, like, gosh, here she comes again. And I had no idea what was wrong. I never had a DUI, you guys. I came from the era when drinking in Jersey was 18. And I used to go on Dark Hollow Road over to Jersey to Shady Lane with my girlfriends when I was 15 years old. I had a fake ID before there were, you know, pictures on our IDs. Yeah, that is back in the day. I see you all nodding your head. I recently took my father on that trip down Dark Hollow Road over to Jersey, and he looked at me in all earnestness and said, I have no idea how you're alive, but I'm really glad you are. There's no reason I should be alive. And at the very end of my drinking, when I ended up in Maine, you guys, I was an empty shell of a human. I couldn't access any of my feelings. I wouldn't even know what they were if they were there. You know that blank stare? You've seen it. You've had it. You've looked in the mirror and seen it. That was me. I got up every day and I went to work and I detoxed all day long. Buckets of sweat coming out of me. All my shirts would sweat through. My hands were puddles of sweat. I was working at L.L. Bean in Maine selling shoes. And people were terrified of me. People got out of my way. People like went, whoa, here she comes. Like they literally got out of my way. Because I was like a human wrecking ball. Get out of my way. Because what Miss Stacy has to do is very important. Get out of my way. I literally was so disconnected from the idea that my alcoholism was killing me that I was ready to go to the doctor and get a prescription for my hands because they were so sweaty. That's how much denial I was in. Along the way, I had a partner. We'd been together for about six. No, when we left each other in 2008, it would have been 17 years. Then he and I drank exactly the same way. We had this crappy apartment in Maine that looked beautiful on the outside. It looked like Martha Stewart lived there. There were chairs on the porch with pretty little cushions and a wreath on the door and flower baskets. And it was really beautiful. And you would say to yourself, oh, my gosh, normal people live there. But if you open the door to that squalid, disgusting, alcoholic apartment, you would have seen boxes and boxes of pizza, an upended sofa in my dining room, a path to my living room sofa, a path to my bed, which had all kinds of dirty laundry all over the place, and a path to my bathroom, and that was it. It needed a condemned sign on it. I never let anybody in. I only went out for work every day. And I came home every day with my fabulous $5 bottle of wine and proceeded to try and kill myself. Because I thought at age 44, seriously, God? Hello? Seriously? This is my life? This is what you have in store for me? Thanks, big guy. Love ya. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. So I had three plans. One of them was go to, it's called the county, because it's so big in Maine, but it's like uncharted territory. There's logging roads, and that's it. I was going to go to one of these logging roads and put a bunch of liquor in my car, and they would find my hypothermia body on one of these logging roads. Or I would swim to an island off of Maine after I got totally inebriated and attempt to kill myself. Or I would have a high-speed crash into a tree bridge abutment, fill in the blank. That's the one I did. It's the first DUI I ever had. I was coming home from my girlfriend's Silpata party. I actually bought these bracelets there. I was coming home from my girlfriend's Silpata party where I had eight shots or more of some kind of crazy mango rum that she had. She begged me to stay over her house. She had a new part onto her house. It was like a carriage house. And she was begging me to stay overnight. No, 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 I'm totally fine. I'm only down the road. You know, so I have, like, the radio blasting. And the road is a hairpin. It's like Dark Hollow Road. It's all hairpin turns. And I went off the road and I was airborne. And I hit a telephone pole with the mother of all. What are those big Transformers with the mother of all Transformers on it. And I lit a farmer's field on fire. I took all the power out in the whole street. And I got arrested. I had no driver's license. I had no car insurance. I had no registration. I had nothing that a human being needs to drive a car except for the car, the keys, and the gas. Along the way, while I was a drunk, I became a school teacher. You can't fingerprint a school teacher so that she can teach school if she has felonies against her. So I had to go to jail for a little while. On January 2nd, 2007, my brother took me to a lawyer, and he said, "You need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous so that you look good for the judge." And I did exactly what this man told me to do. I was so broken. I just showed up. I showed up my first AA meeting on the 3rd of January. And that group became my home group. Sunrise Serenity Group, Brunswick, Maine. If you ever go on vacation, you totally have to go there. It is awesome. It's a daily reflections group, and it's amazing. The same people show up every day, and I needed that in my early sobriety. I needed absolute rigidity. Like, I needed a place to go every day and see the exact same faces. People sitting in the exact same chairs. Like, I needed to realize that you guys, like, did this more than once. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you did keep coming back. So I went to Sunrise Serenity, and, like, a week into – well, okay, so I show up, right, and I'm ready to walk out at the very end because they get into a really big circle, and they were going to say the Lord's Prayer. "Miss Stacy, don't pray to no man." Our Father almost made me walk right out the door. And a woman came over to me, and she saved my life. She put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, "You do not have to say that prayer. It's optional. You just stand here with us. You don't have to say it." And that woman saved my life, and I came back every day thereafter. And that woman ended up becoming my sponsor, and she started taking me through the 12 steps. A week into this thing, I show up at a women's group, and man, did I hate women. I couldn't stand you all. I'm not going to tell any woman anything. I don't like men. This is exactly what I said at that women's meeting. I don't like men. I don't like women. I don't like God. I don't like myself, and I can't stand all of you. But I think I'm one of you. Because I was hearing stories that were so much like me. People that picked up a drink, and when they picked up a drink, crazy stuff started happening. And they had no idea when it was going to stop, and they couldn't stop it themselves. That is me. I admitted it that day. It was the most liberating day of my entire life. And a miracle has happened. An absolute miracle has happened. I feel connected to the people around me most of the time. Did I delve into the steps pretty quickly? Actually, you know what's so funny? I did. If you would have asked me like a few years ago, did you start doing your steps really quickly? I would have said no. But when I moved last year, some of you guys helped me move last year. You guys moved me down to Langhorne. And I started going through boxes, and I found my first four-step. I did my first four-step when I was 4 months sober, to the best of my ability. God does not make too hard terms to those that seek. It says it right in our big book. And I really did try to the best of my ability. God just wants us to try. God wants to be found, people. God wants you to ask for help. He will come help. So I did do my steps, and I did something that they do in New England called an AWOL. It's called the Way of Life. It's like you go to somebody's house and you do the steps with a whole group of other people. So I did that, and that was really cool and rewarding and utterly terrifying. And this whole time I worked. Do you know how I got to work? I rode my bicycle in Maine in the winter. And you all took me to work. If it was too crappy out and I couldn't ride my bike 15 miles to work, I got really humble. And I asked one of you for a ride. And you all took me everywhere I needed to go when I needed to get someplace. because I lost my license, and you just took me everywhere I needed to go. You guys were awesome. That's why I do it today. People are always like, when I get people in my car now, they're like, oh, thank you, Stacy, thank you, and they're trying to give me money. I'm like, no. I tell people the exact same thing I was told, just do this for somebody else. That's the whole deal, you guys. That's this whole deal. Just do this for someone else. And I'm not talking about just driving. I'm talking about do this program with someone else. That's what keeps me sober today. Not only working the 12 steps in every aspect of my life, but working with other women. I have the good grace of working with other women and taking them through the steps. Do they all stay sober? Guess who stays sober? Me. Just like Lois told Bill after he was pulling drunks off of bar stools. Hey, but Bill, guess who stayed sober? You did. It's a little scary when you first start doing that because you think, oh my God, could I screw somebody up? Guess what? Nope. Because I have a sponsor and I actively participate with my sponsor. And guess who I call when I don't know what the heck I'm doing? I have a sponsee that I told the wrong thing the other day. Something that is not in AA conference approved literature, something that came out of my little pea brain. And I wasn't sure about it, so guess who I checked with? My sponsor. And I prayed. And guess who else I called? My sponsor. And I prayed. And I found out there's like pamphlets in AA that like tell you stuff. So people, you don't have to make any of this up yourself. It's in the first 164 pages, plus there's pamphlets, plus there's people you can ask. The hardest thing for us to do is to ask. So guess who I had to make amends to yesterday? My sponsee. I really try and live this, guys. Let me tell you, like if I had not made amends to her for telling her that something was... I told her totally the wrong thing. I told her something I made up in my own head. So I had to make amends to her. And it was so awesome. She's like, you are such a weirdo. But she saw that it, you know, was okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing all the time. And that I need help just like you do. It was really cool. And we sat together for a little while today. And I try and work once a week with my sponsees. Because I think that's, you know, keeps me up with them and them up with me. And it's just, it clears a path. If I leave that junk there, I am blocked from God and I'm blocked from you. If I leave resentments there, if I leave my pride there, if I leave my envy and my jealousy and my dishonesty inside of my heart when it comes out of me, because it is going to come out of me, because I'm a human being. If I don't take care of that very rapidly, I'm going to be blocked from God and I'm going to be blocked from you. I love me my 10th step, man. I love page 86. Love page 86. Please go home and open your book. Please talk to your sponsor about page 86. It keeps me on the beam because it says when these things crop up. When my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear crop up, it gives me a plan of action to do. What's the first plan of action, everybody? Go to God. Talk to God. God, remove my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear, or combination thereof, because it's usually a whole bunch of them combined, because I have 100 forms of fear. And then I call my posse of women. I love women now. Women have helped me get sober, helped me stay sober. I have this posse of wacko chicks that I call, that call me on my stuff. Geez, Stacy, like I'm blathering, blah, blah, blah. Somebody did blah, 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 blah. Blah. And they're like, well, that was interesting. So, where were you selfish, dishonest, resentful, or fearful? I'm like, you. I want to say the B word. They are my mirrors. They push it back on me, make me look at myself and my character defects. I take it to God. I take it to another drunk very rapidly. It doesn't say in 5 days. In 5 days, you will talk to another person. It says immediately. Bill Wilson and God, no drunks. We don't do stuff immediately. We will sit on our, we'll rest on our laurels. We will. And we will kill ourselves. It says, immediately do these things. And then, if I have to, pull my foot out of my mouth, like I did the other day, I go and make amends rapidly. And then guess what I do? The 12th step. I turn my thoughts to someone to help. Does it have to be another drunk? Not necessarily. Old ladies crossing the street are good. Anyone, but you have to make a concerted effort. I have to make a concerted effort to pull my head out of my derriere and go help someone. That popping sound. Thanks, Sue. No. I am my own worst enemy. Can you relate to that? Yeah. This has been a hard year, you guys. Sometimes I have absolutely no idea how I stayed sober this year. So I moved to Langhorn. I get this fabulous job. Start making some money. And I'm 16 weeks into the job. And guess who got a pink slip right before Christmas? Myself and six other women. After I doubled my rent and moved into this fabulous apartment with my best friend of 31 years who I made amends with, and it was as if we had never dropped a stitch. This woman has the biggest, most spiritual heart. Her name is Kelly. If you connect with me on Facebook, you'll connect with her. She's an amazing human being. And we've been friends a long time, and we got an apartment together, this gorgeous apartment. But I doubled my rent on this fancy schmancy job. And I'm on unemployment and I can't find a job. And I was so mad at God. I called my sponsor. I cracked that book open to the top of page 63. And I started screaming at the top of my lungs. If you stick close to God and perform His work well, you're going to get all this cool stuff. I was a nutcase. I really thought, really, God? I'm walking the walk. I'm living on all three sides of the triangle. I'm sponsoring women. I have a home group. I'm an intergroup. I'm in the archives down at Sepia. I pray every day. For your will to be done, not mine, jerk. And guess what I did? The exact same thing I did in the very beginning of my sobriety, and I've been doing it all year. I call it my 180 sobriety. When my head says don't go to a meeting, I go to a meeting. When my head says don't call your sponsor, I call my sponsor. When my head says praying is stupid and God is rejected, I pray more and I pray more and I pray more. even when I don't believe it. Because this has always been move a muscle, change a thought. Spiritual muscle. As you can clearly see, I'm not someone who goes to the gym. Those muscles aren't getting worked, therefore I have results, or lack thereof. Spiritual muscle is much the same. When I don't use it, it atrophies and my head starts to take over. And it says, a drink looks good. It'll solve your problems. God never liked you anyway. You should have had that job. Why did you get the pink slip? You're boss. You could run this company, Stacy. She's a... I get homicidal and I get suicidal when I am not in the solution. When I am on page 52 in those bedevilments, when I'm in untreated alcoholism, I have to do my 180 sobriety. Lot more prayer, lot more phone calls, lot more meetings. Guess what started to happen right after November 28th? My phone started to ring. My buddy Justin goes, you are not going to believe this. The Lambertville New Year's Eve dance is not going to take place. I said, that can't happen. I bought an outfit. So it's only a few weeks, 4 weeks before New Year's, and he said, I need your help. Thank you, God. So I got busy, and he gave me a committee, and we decorated that joint, and I found a speaker. Thank you, Patty Burke, messenger of God. We had a blast. Who all was here? You guys were here. Some of you, come this year. We have a great speaker this year. Oh, my gosh. Rob W. from Wildwood, New Jersey. Awesome speaker. Robbie Walker. So I'll see you there with all your finery on. Shaking your tail feathers. So I got really busy. That happened, and you know me. If anybody in this room knows me, they know I love me a jail meeting. So I got with my friend Mara Kay from Sargentsville, New Jersey, and we took women through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bucks County Prison. 4 weeks of intensive work in that book, and we took, all told, we took 50 women partially through the process. We took 13 women all the way through the 12 steps in 4 weeks. And those women sponsor other women in jail. And some drunk chick comes up to me at a meeting and says, will you be my sponsor? I said, absolutely. Are you understanding what I am saying? I got busy. Yeah, I applied for jobs. Kind of, sort of. But honestly, my sobriety was the most important thing. My sobriety is the most important thing. It will always remain the most important thing to me. Because without it, I'm a chick that wants to crash cars into bridge abutments. My sobriety means so much to me. And this year has been difficult. I did get a new job. I finally got a new job. Guess what? I hate it. Guess why I hate it? Because I didn't do what's on the back of our coin. To thine own self be true. I took this job because I was in fear of financial insecurity. Do I even like the telephone? Yeah, not so much. I don't even like the telephone. Guess what? I'm on for 8 hours a day. With a headset. I hate it. I don't really even like computers. Like, I dig surfing the internet and playing games and stuff and researching. When I was in college, I was a history major. I loved to research. But, like, filling out forms online so people can buy stuff? Oh, heinous. Heinous. And my boss is certifiable. Absolutely certifiable. I think she's one of us. And she's a rageaholic. Have you ever met them? I'm learning a whole new computer system called SAP. Let me tell you, people, there has been a lot of prayer. Guess who's a lot healthier now? Guess who's not insane anymore? My boss, because I pray for her all the time. Guess who else feels a little bit better? Me. I have another new sponsee. Guess where I'm going tomorrow, you guys? You're never going to guess. Why aren't you even guessing? Why aren't you even calling stuff out? No, it's not a Flyers game, although I wish it was. Soon enough, a couple weeks. I am going to welding school tomorrow. I got like a big old helmet, and we're going to learn how to MIG weld and TIG weld. People are going to give me an acetylene torch. How cool is that? I'm going to learn to weld for my job. Now, that's not my job. I'm not going to weld. Inevitably, I'm not going to be a welder. Some 50-year-old chick as a welder. That's a great idea. I have so much hair product in, my hair will go up. But it's part of my job. So I'm going to welding school tomorrow in Swedesboro, New Jersey, and the day after that. Because I'm sober. And I just get to show up for stuff and get to experience everything God puts out there for me. And I get to do the exact opposite that my head tells me with the help of you guys. Am I going to stay at this job? Heck, I don't know. It's paying the bills right now. And I've been praying a lot. Something will come along. I've been applying for stuff. You know, I used to be a school teacher. God, I love being with kids. I never had children. That was one of the repercussions of my alcoholism. I never had a child. I always wanted to have a baby. And I made a choice. So God keeps pushing me in that direction of, I just light up when I'm with kids. I was in an after-school program with kids at the YMCA down in Bristol last year at the end of the school year, and I just love being with those kids. So if I do to thine own self be true, I will not be in a windowless office with a headset on filling out paperwork for people buying stupid stuff. If God wants me to be there a little bit longer, okay, fine. Suck it up, pay your bills, do the right thing. Don't just walk out like a drunk. Because let me tell you, that thought has crossed my mind. Later. Watch my tush walking toward the door. That's drunk Stacy behavior. So I'm praying for my boss a lot more. I'm praying for God to give me some direction. I'm talking to you all a lot. I'm like burning your phones up. And I'm loving on Wendell, my cat. Wendell, my cat, was my first God because my first sponsor knew I had a hard time with God. I thought only stupid people believed in God. Stupid, pathetic losers believed in God or needed a crutch like God. God, I'm glad to be stupid, pathetic. I love God in all God's forms. What planet is that up there tonight, you guys? I think it's Mercury. God's there. God's in Dave B right in front of me. God is everywhere. Everywhere. And I'm so, so grateful that you asked me to come and let you know that this too can be yours, this beautiful, graceful life. This bumbling, weird, crazy ride of a life. If you just try doing these 12 steps with a sponsor and passing it on to other humans. I even get to be with my mother. Shelly, stop that. It's very difficult. My mom is 74 and still drinks periodically. And I pray for her every day that she understands that this too, this solution is also here for her. And she doesn't have to attempt to kill herself every day. I pray I've said something that helps somebody tonight. Please, if you're scared, just ask somebody for help. Do that 180 sobriety, and just for that 1 second, ask God for the courage to ask somebody for help. Because somebody, there are a lot of human beings in here who have done the steps. Someone in this room will help you to get connected to God so that you can be useful to God and your fellows, because that's your primary purpose. It's not to make Stacy Metzler happy. I always thought that that was my primary purpose, so that I could be happy. Wrong answer. My primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics and be connected to that God of my understanding, even if he shows up in Wendell, my cat. Thank you ever so much for having me.